What's up, hockey fans? Jackie Redmond here. Welcome to a very different edition of Puck Culture. We just wanted to say we sincerely hope you and yours are doing well during this time of social distancing. We know it's weird and scary and stressful, but we hope you are all staying healthy and happy. We started the Puck Culture podcast back in October, and we've been lucky enough to chat with some of hockey's biggest fans, ranging from celebrities, professional wrestlers, to actors, musicians, and broadcasters. And even though we can't bring you new episodes each and every week, while the NHL season is on pause, we're all getting a little stir crazy. So we figured, why not relive some of the best conversations that we've had throughout the season? We hope it can keep you entertained and maybe a bit distracted as we all patiently wait for the season to hopefully get going once again. As always, thank you guys so much for listening, and we look forward to chatting with you all again soon. But until then, enjoy the best of Puck Culture. Our guest today is the executive producer of The Ellen DeGeneres Show, Andy Lassner. Andy, thanks for doing the show. We are so pumped to have you on. We think you're fantastic.
You have no idea. This is such a big deal to me. I mean, hockey is my life. I work with celebrities all day. Don't really care. Talking to Scott Hartnell now, kind of like an 11-year-old girl.
You're making me blush, Andy. You're making me blush. Thanks for the kind words.
This is what makes me happy.
Well, Hartsy, you know, as we all know, Hartsy, one of the bigger personalities to ever play for the Flyers, so I'm not at all surprised. And your chirp game, Scott, was always on point. So people love that.
And he's a fighter, and he's a penalty taker. he's what hockey is, makes hockey fun. He's entertaining.
Yeah, and he had the epic flow, the epic hair too in his playing days, eh, Andy?
Great hair. Which is so important.
You're just full of compliments. I appreciate it.
That's a great start to the interview.
I know, this is going real well so far.
Andy, I'll start here for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with your background. You're from New York, but you're a Kings fan now. So how did you get into hockey, and how did you end up becoming a diehard fan of the Kings?
I had a friend who had season tickets to the Rangers. And he would take me to games, and I would go maybe two a year when I was really young. And I just got obsessed. And we used to stay after the Ranger games to get autographs from guys like Barry Beck and Ron Duguay. You probably don't remember them.
Oh, I know the names. I know the names.
and Ron Greshner and Nick Fatiu. And those were and they were the nicest guys. And because of that, I just this is the greatest sport, and it was exciting and it was fun. And my dad would take me to a baseball game, and I'd be like, this is the slowest thing I've ever seen in my life. And once you go to a live hockey game, there's just no other sport. And then I just became a diehard Ranger fan, and part of it was the quest that we hadn't won a cup in forever since, you know, and going to games and everyone chanting 1940 to make fun of us that we hadn't won a cup.
Yeah.
And then to ride that through and win the cup was insane. And then I moved to L.A. for work and was still going to Kings games only when the Rangers played, and wearing my Ranger jersey.
Amazing, respect.
Which is hilarious, you know, that happens here, because now that I'm a Kings season ticket holder, like last night was a Ranger game, half the arena are Ranger fans because there's so many transplants here. When I was growing up, if you went to a Ranger game and wore any other jersey besides a Ranger jersey, you got beat up. I mean, that's just what happened. You just didn't do it. And it's hilarious here how everyone is just so nice to each other. It's just a different culture. But yeah, what happened was I had kids, and I exposed them to no other sports, so they'd have no interest in anything else. I took them to hockey, started taking them to hockey games when I got season tickets. And, you know, it's hard to go every night and not sort of fall in love with the game.
Yeah.
And then obviously the hardest thing was when the Kings played the Rangers for the cup. That was really rough for me, because you know, I still have I still love the Rangers, but I wanted the Kings to win the cup. But so, you know, anybody in New York All my friends, my brother, they cannot believe that I'm a Kings fan. They refuse to accept it.
That's great. What was the turning point? Was there a specific game that you turned your allegiances to the LA Kings? And obviously, being a fan of the Kings, now you've got a couple cups in your back pocket, so that's pretty impressive. But was there one key instance where you kind of said, okay, screw you, Rangers, I'm a Kings fan now?
It wasn't just one game. I'll tell you what was a big moment was the first ever game I took my boys to, they were like 5 years old, and we were playing the Red Wings. And before the game, they wanted jerseys, maybe they were six. And I bought them Kings jerseys. And by the third period, it was like 4-0 Red Wings. And my son turned to me and said, can we get Red Wings jerseys? And at that moment, I was like, nope, we're Kings fans. And I realized I needed to teach them about being a fan. So it was kind of at that moment where I was like, okay, I have to have allegiance. And you start, you know, getting invested in the players. And I hadn't followed the Rangers for a while, so it wasn't any of the same players that had won the Cup in 94. And I don't know, I just became a Kings fan. It just happened. But I still love the Rangers. I need to say that. I do love them.
So the Rangers being a lot higher in the standings than the Kings right now, are you a little bit disappointed in the Kings their season so far, being last in the league?
Oh, heartbroken. you know, when you're a fan, it consumes you. Not for everyone, but for me, it defines my mood. It defines how I feel about things,
you're
whether
a true fan.
My
yeah.
team wins or loses. And this is hard. You know, I'm buying into the idea that we're rebuilding, but it is hard to go from winning two cups in 3 years and then having a couple rough years and then another rough year and then another rough year. So, yeah, it's frustrating, but, you know, to go to a game last night and watch them beat the Rangers, you know, it felt good just because I could see that they do have the potential to win games.
Absolutely.
Apparently not on the road.
Oh, my, I love it. You know your stuff. You know, it's interesting because now in sports with Twitter and social media and everything, people look at a team like the Kings, right? And they go, oh, you've won your cups. Like, what do you care if they're not doing well this season? It's like, no, like, just ask Drew Doughty.
Oh,
it's
God.
Frustrating.
It's
you want to win.
It's even harder when you win the cup because anything less than the cup becomes a letdown.
Yeah, you know how good it can be.
It was fun when I was a Ranger fan and I was, you know, heading towards the cup. It was all exciting. And then once they won it, you just kind of expect it. And when they don't, it's heartbreaking.
Well, let me ask you this. Being out in L.A. and being a season ticket holder and diehard Kings fan, you've watched them win a couple of cups. Have you been to a Stanley Cup party? I assume you must have.
You know, here's the thing. After they won the cup, I was friendly with the team doctor. I'm friendly with a lot of the players and personnel, and it's only for one reason. The wives and girlfriends all want tickets to Ellen.
No way!
They're
That's so
you.
Amazing!
They're
as
using
soon as this
you.
Show is done, I'll hear from none of them. But I happen to have been pretty good friends with the team doctor, and he said to me, you know, we're going to have a party at our home. We'd love to have you and your family come and see the cup. You know, we get it for one day. So, you know, I go home. I'm a big shot. I tell my wife, I tell my boys, this is really exciting. We're going to go. We're going to a small party at the doctor's house, just a few of us. He made it a big deal that we were invited, so we're going to see the cup. I get the address from the doctor's assistant. I'm all excited. I tell the kids, wear your jersey so we can get a picture. we drive up, and this is not an exaggeration. We drive up. We turn the corner on his block. He has invited the entire neighborhood to come see the Stanley Cup. And there is a line, and this guy has like a 3-acre property with a tennis court. There is a line out the gate onto the block of people waiting to go see the Cup. So I figure, oh, well, that's, you know, that's for later, but I'm part of the private party. No, not at all. I'm there. So I waited an hour and a half at this private party with my kids whining to get a 3-second picture with the cup. So that's my experience with the Stanley
Cup. Oh,
that's
so good.
It was after 2014 that I actually got really friendly with a number of the players. So hopefully now when they win the cup, I'll be invited to something a
little
more.
We're talking like text level friendly now?
Oh,
you've made it to that stage?
Text level. I would say I'm really good friends with Andrei Kopitar, text level, hang out level, go to dinner with the wives level.
Okay, like you're in. You are in.
And then the other players are just text level. Like I text with a number of players.
Okay.
And I need to reiterate again, there is nothing, it still is crazy to me that I'm friends with actual professional hockey players. I spend my days with Ellen and Justin Timberlake and Julia Roberts. It's not a big thing. But the fact I still, like, my heart still goes crazy when I look down at my phone and it says Kopi.
I love that.
And I believe it's, and I've said this before, I think it's whoever your childhood heroes are.
Yeah, it's no, that's
like
a good point.
My heroes as a kid were hockey players. It wasn't celebrities. So for me, that's still the most exciting thing.
I got my LA Kings Cup story. One of my good buddies is Jared Stoll. I texted him about you last night to see if there's any inside scoops to ask you. But he actually invited me to the second cup that they won.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure because I was obviously still playing. Should I go? Should I not go? And he called me right after he sent the text. I said, I don't know, buddy. You know. And he called me and he said, hey, man, I want you to be there. I want you to experience with me. There wasn't 300 people, 400 people like yours. It was just his family and friends. It was like maybe 30, 40 people. And, you know, obviously I didn't touch it and go near it. I went near it, but I didn't get a picture
with it. So you didn't drink out of it or anything like that?
I didn't, but it was really cool just to see the power of that Stanley Cup and how amazing it is. And, you know, you kind of freak out when you get near it and you know, being a player. And you know, so I was kind of the closest I've ever been to kind of, you know, touching it. But it was pretty cool that...
Did it bring you back to being a kid, just being, like, in the presence of the Cup, like... outside of like the Hockey Hall of Fame or somewhere where you would see it, but just being in a normal setting with your boy and there's the cup and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it was be crazy.
It was wild. So then another quick story about it. The next morning we played 9 holes with the Stanley Cup. So there was 5 of us and Stoley had it on the back of his golf cart, right? And so we get to the par 3 and it was 140 yards par 3. And if you know golf, it's not that far of
a
shot.
I played golf, yeah.
Yeah, and so anyways, it's called closest to the cup, not closest to the pin, closest to
yeah,
the cup.
Nice.
So the cup master took the cup on the green and we all have our pitching wedges out and literally no one hit the green because it was just like weird, this aura of the cup and no one...
You don't want to get anywhere close. I
wanted to ding it, absolutely, but I was 40 yards to the right, so just we were laughing about that.
And the 40 yards to the right is a good shot for me.
all right, let's go back to Kopi. What could you tell us about Kopi as a person, like off the ice?
First of all, he is genuinely one of the nicest human beings I know, like through and through. He comes from a great family, and he's just such a sweet, nice guy. He also happens to be an unbelievable golfer who, when I golf with him, it's mostly just him making fun of me for 18 holes. And it doesn't – all I keep saying is, dude, you're a professional athlete. You're supposed to be good at all these things. I'm a Jew from New York who works in daytime television. The fact that I can get it within 30 feet of the hole, that's a big thing. He doesn't care. And he loves to just make me keep score so I can see how bad I'm doing compared to him. And yeah, it's a fun time with him.
Oh my gosh, you need to post some of the next time you golf with him, you need to like capture it on Instagram, him chirping you, and send it out there for hockey fans everywhere.
He's relentless. It's relentless. It's never like it doesn't let up. And I actually played with his father, who's also unbelievable. You know, the story with the father was that I was we were golfing and the whole time I'm calling him Mr. Kopitar, and he finally said, you know, you could call me by my first name. And I said, well, you know, I have respect. It's just a nice thing. Turns out he's a year younger than I am. His father is a year younger than I am. which is still crazy to me that I'm 52 and everybody on the ice could be my child. Because I like to think of myself as kind of their peers. Like, turns out I'm not.
Age is just a number. It's all about your vibe, and you got a young vibe.
Thank you. I try.
Is that why Ellen calls you Average Andy? Because you're just average at golf and average at...
I'm average at everything. The Average Andy thing started because they came up with a segment where they put me up against the best at things. So then I swam with Phelps. I dove with the Olympic gold champion. It's just another way for Ellen to humiliate me. So it's just me doing things with people who are the best at the world.
I saw you at the U.S. Open playing tennis with Djokovic and Rafa Nadal.
It wasn't great.
I saw you working on your wiener. I mean, tweener.
Yeah, exactly.
That was so good.
Oh, my God. How about that? And then, of course, it finally came to her saying they wanted to do the Kings. And I was like, this, I don't know. Like, I really hesitated because I was like, these are the one group of people in the world I don't want to embarrass myself in front of. But, of course, I did. And it was humiliating, but also one of the best days of my life.
That's
to play
wicked.
Goalie for the Kings during a practice was just, it was incredible.
Yeah, worth the humiliation, I'm sure.
There were a couple moments where I go, how is this happening?
like pinch yourself moments.
I've never felt less cool in my life.
Well, what about Ellen? What does she think of hockey?
She is amused by my love of it and by my, you know, when we were on the cup run, me doing everything to change the tape times of the shows. The good news is, like I said, Ed Glavin, who I work with, is a huge hockey fan and a Flyer fan, but I've brought him to all the Kings Cups games, and so he got invested a little bit.
Ooh, is he jealous of you right now, sitting here talking to Scott Hartnell?
I literally sent him the text yesterday the second I got it, and he was like, what? How's that happening? And I was like, no, it's what I do. I talk to Flyers.
I'll send my love to Ed. What's up, Ed?
But so he and I would change tape times of the show so we could make it to the Cup games because they were doing them early. I've gotten her to watch one game during the Olympics, and she goes, oh, I get it. This is really great. But she's so invested in football and other sports that I just, you know, and the big goal is the next time we're on a cup run, she's coming to a game with me.
Oh, yeah, she has to. She's got to go to a playoff game.
I've explained it to her. The second you get to a game and see a live hockey game, it'll change you forever. The greatest thing about having season tickets is bringing people to their first hockey game and seeing them go, oh, this is unbelievable. You know,
it's so true. I say it too all the time to people that it's like once you, it's one of the best sports to watch live in person because you realize how fast everybody is, how talented they are. And it's just there's an energy at a hockey game that you can't really describe to someone unless they actually go. So different
exactly.
than on TV.
And it's weird. I'm all good with the fact that there's less fighting, but whenever I bring someone to their first game, all I'm thinking is, please let there be a fight. That just cements it. When you just see people throwing fists at each other, you're just like, I mean, what's better than this?
Outside of Kopitar, like, do you have a favorite LA Kings moment, a favorite goal? I mean, over the years, what is your favorite moment during those
runs? Martinez.
Oh, that goal was epic.
Yeah. It was against the Rangers, which wasn't great, but it was just an unbelievable moment. And the best part of that was that my wife, we were in double overtime, and my wife says to me, because one of the boys yawned, she said, if this goes to triple overtime, we're going to leave, right? I go, are you kidding me?
No.
She goes, but the boys are getting tired. I go, honey, I need you to be on board with this. Okay?
You're like, this
we're
is sacrilege
until
to
this
leave.
Game is over. I would say she's a she likes hockey. She's not. She has nowhere near the obsession I have. She likes it. The kids love it, but she hasn't fallen in love with it the same way. And when we don't make the playoffs, she dares to say things like, "Well, we'll save some money at least."
And it's true. Like you can't leave before the game's over, especially in the playoffs. Like, that's just,
especially
that was the thing. When I went to Ranger game, the few games I would go actually with my dad, it could be a tie game. And with like 4 minutes left, he'd be like, we should go. We got to beat the traffic. It was all about beating the traffic. And I made a big deal here to try and stay till the end of every game, unless it's really bad.
Well, we appreciate you for that, for sure. Let's talk about Chrissy Teigen, because anytime a celebrity of that magnitude is talking about hockey, we at the NHL, we love it. We love getting that spotlight on the game, especially in the United States. We saw you and her going back and forth a little bit. Chrissy Teigen and hockey. What do you think? You think she could become a diehard fan?
I am fully working on getting her invested. She's one of the people I've become friends with through the show, and I'm a huge fan of hers. And she is just so much fun. She just doesn't understand hockey, but when she watches it, it's definitely exciting for her. And so after this whole tweet thing happened with Stoli and her and me, I've been on her, and I'm going to absolutely get her to a Kings game.
You got to make sure she live tweets.
Absolutely. And Chrissy Teigen, genuinely, her personality is made for hockey. Like, she's like me. She will, the thrill of it, she'll lose her mind. She will absolutely lose her mind at a Kings game. I just got to figure out which one in the new year, but she's absolutely going to a game.
Yeah, you got to be strategic about it, right? You got to make sure it's a good opponent. It's going to be a good game. I'm with you on that.
And she feels like a big VIP. We'll do the whole, they take her under the tunnel like the players, you know. These celebrities, they like to feel fancy when they go to these things. So we'll have to do
That's
all
shocking.
That.
A lot of pranks and stuff on the Ellen show, and you're involved in a lot of it. Is there one person that's been pranked whose reaction is just your all-time favorite?
That's a great question. I think when we scared Diddy, we jumped out of a box. The way he jumped out and looked like he was going to get into a fight with whoever just scared him, and then the way he calmed down was pretty impressive. But I have to say, every time we scare some, it's why we keep doing it. It's just and again, I'm the butt of a lot of the jokes here, and I also get very frightened very easily. So I kind of hate that we do it. But at the same time, it's hilarious to me every time. And it's, you know, that's just who Ellen is. She's like a 12-year-old kid. And the excitement of being able to scare people, it never gets old to her. Jimmy Kimmel was unbelievable. He actually chased the person and tackled the person who scared him and pulled the mask off of him, which was unbelievable. You can see that on YouTube.
Oh, I'll be YouTubing that one for sure.
Yeah. They've all been great. And then there are certain people you just will never... You know, you don't scare Oprah when she comes on. You don't scare Barack Obama. There's just certain people who come on. You go, okay, we're not going to scare these people. But the ones we scare, pretty much everyone. And it's funny. We now have celebrities who say to their publicists after the show, "I'm kind of bummed they didn't scare me." Like they think if they're not scare worthy, they think they haven't done a good job at the show.
It's like a badge of honor.
Yeah, exactly. And the people who we've scared before and come back, they're frightened the entire interview. You can tell they're looking around, they're watching the table, and we've had to keep upping the game of how we scare people on the show, because we had the table and people come out of that, but then people knew that the table was there, so we would lift it and they would see that nobody's in there, and then we'd close it and then the person would come out. We actually built a tunnel. So there's a tunnel now under our studio. Table looks empty. And then once we close it and show the celebrity there's no one there, we have the person crawl under a tunnel. Yeah, that's how insane we are.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
Does anyone dare to scare Ellen?
I've tried 1,000 times. It doesn't work.
Doesn't work?
The most, you know. She sends me into a haunted house with a celebrity every year. And so every year for 17 years, I've tried to find a way to get revenge. And you know, because she's constantly scaring me. And she doesn't scare, and it's so unbelievably frightening. There was one time we had Steve Carell come and scare her, and she swears that she wasn't scared, but when you watch it really slow, she had a moment where she jumped.
But
there's
okay.
Nothing worse than a person who doesn't scare, who does all the scaring, because how do you get back at her?
I don't understand people that can't get spooked.
We'll have to rack our brains later.
I spook myself out.
We're up for suggestions.
Listen, Andy, you have been an absolute blast. I'm thinking, like, the next time the Kings are on a run or in the playoffs, like, we got to come up with, like, an average Andy, like, Kings correspondent segment or something and get you on NHL Network.
How about Scotty Hartnell teaches Andy how to fight?
There it is. See, this is why you're a producer.
That's going to be great TV. That'll be great TV.
Listen, when you're in New York, don't shy from us. Send us an email. We'll make it happen. We'll get you and Hartsy on the ice together. That'd be awesome.
Nothing would make me happier.
We're really, really grateful that you made time to come on the show.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, cheers, Andy.
In attendance for this game, will be two-time Super Bowl champion Damian Woody, and he's going to talk to us about it right now.
Big
I'm
Woody.
Super excited to have him on the show. Damian, thanks for joining us.
I'm pumped for tonight, man. It seems like the whole Islander fan base is behind me, so I'm looking forward to it.
They really are. Let's talk about how this started, because I personally think the tweet that began this entire thing was not only hilarious, it was spot on. You said something to the effect of, New York's got like two teams in every sport, and they all suck. What's going on
They're
here? And of
miserable.
Course,
yeah.
Islanders fans jumped at the chance to be like, hey, man, we're in the middle of like a 9-game winning streak, I think it was, at the point. It ended up being 10, and now here you are going to an Islanders game. Did it blow you away, the reaction that you got from that tweet?
You know what? This whole sequence has been amazing because, you know, it was just really spurned from one tweet that basically said New York sports scene sucks right now.
And then which isn't wrong, which is not wrong.
Base,
not altogether wrong.
Yeah, I know, right? The New York Islander fan base they just stepped in like, D. Wood, wait a minute now. You need to check out the Islanders. The Islanders are in the middle of something special right now. And so I went back and then the Islanders chimed in. They were like, hey, we're over here. We're hello, waving our hands. And so I had to issue an apology. And then, you know, the fan base was like, hey, Islanders, why don't you get Damian Woody out to a game so he can truly see what we're talking about? And one thing led to another. And we're going to a game tonight, which is fantastic.
Tell us a little bit about that. What's that supposed to look like? What are you going to be doing while you're at the game, Damian? And what have they kind of braced you for to this point?
Well, listen, first of all, I want to thank the fan base because I had solicited, question about which game should I go to. Literally every tweet was, you have to go to next Wednesday's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
So got to thank the fan base for that. But tonight is going to be tremendous. What we did was we did a contest where the New York Islanders provided a suite and some seats right in front of the glass to enjoy the game. 8 fans are going to be joining me in the suite. And it's just going to be a great experience. We're going to do that. And I'm also going to join the broadcast of tonight's game to kind of talk about this whole experience. So it's really been tremendous.
And this is a huge deal for whoever the 8 contest winners are too,
no
right?
Fooling.
I mean, to get to
no
go to
fooling.
A game with you, 2-time Super Bowl champion. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, you know what? It really, this whole thing has really worked out bigger than I expected. And, for me, I'm a fan. I'm really excited about this whole experience. You know, I don't know too much about hockey, but the thing I love about it moves very fast. I like fast and violent. I love violence. So
it sounds,
I'm looking forward to that.
Sounds, Damian, like you like the fact that these guys slug themselves in the face from time to time, slug one another in the face from time to time. That's kind of your bent on it, your take on it?
Oh, man, first of all, you got to appreciate the skill set that you got to have to play this game, number one. And number two, you know, I'm a Boston College alum, and basically all the guys that I hung out with outside the football team were the hockey players.
Yeah.
So we got a similar mindset.
Okay.
A goon mindset.
A goon
hey,
mindset.
Hey, I love that.
Well, you wouldn't have cared for the way I played back in the day. Hey, quick one. Tell us, what's your experience with the game? Like, how much NHL hockey have you seen before you step into the building tonight?
It's very, very minimal. I mean, literally, again, I've watched playoff hockey, which has been amazing. The atmosphere has been pretty much unlike anything that I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
I've heard, people have told me many a time, dude, you got to watch playoff hockey. It's unlike anything that you'll see out here. And this was like a couple years ago. And then I got into that and I'm like, wow, this is tremendous. And so now, building off of that, going into my first game against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I'm stoked.
Yeah, you're going to a good game for sure. I mean, the Islanders fans did not steer you wrong because, Tavares, when he made his first return to Nassau after joining the Maple Leafs in free agency, they were chanting, like, where's your jammies? They were, I mean, it was unbelievable. I'll ask you this question. As a former professional athlete yourself, I asked Stu this question earlier in the show. When a superstar player like that leaves a team, on his own accord, by his own choice or requests a trade or these things that happen, what's the impact of something like that on the room? Does it become something that guys talk about? Is it just sort of whatever, that's his business, he's going to do his thing, let it go? Or are you motivated when you face that player again and you're like, oh, we're going to beat you?
Well, listen, I think first and foremost, guys understand it's a business decision.
Yeah.
But at the same time, once you get on the playing surface, whether it's a football field or, you know, the ice rink, all that goes aside. We're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking to inflict punishment on you. And so, you know, that's the beauty about this whole thing. It doesn't matter that I'm a football player or you could be a hockey player. When that whistle goes or when the puck drops, it is on.
Listen, you're an energetic guy. You seem to have a passion just for sports in general. Are we going to see you live tweeting tonight? I mean, can we look forward to some live tweets from you as you're experiencing this hockey game?
Let me tell you something. For anyone anybody that doesn't know, my Twitter handle, well, all of my handles is at Damian Woody. That's one thing that I do all the time during live events, whether it's football games, basketball, and I'll bet you this, I will be live tweeting tonight at this hockey game. And it, like I said, I am so pumped for this experience because it's a game against a historic franchise in the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the team is doing fantastic. So you'll definitely be seeing me live tweeting out there.
I'll tell you what, you have so much energy just speaking on this interview right now, and we can't even see you. I want to go to the game with you. So, like, if you ever do another contest, just give me a heads up so I can enter the contest.
Listen, I got you. I can tell you that. And like I told a lot of the fans, I did a video last night to announce the 8 fans that are coming to the game. Yeah. I told people this is not going to be the last time I do this. So
All right.
The next time.
Okay. All right. I'll have to keep my eye out on Twitter and make sure I can apply.
Well, absolutely.
As a former player, Damian, I got to tell you, you're signed up for a good one tonight. You really are. Having been in really all but one of the buildings in the NHL across the entire league, this one's electric. It's kind of a throwback, and it brings out the best in these fans. So be ready for
It's old school.
It's
old school at the Coliseum.
I would say I almost analogize it or compare it to, it's a little bit on a smaller version, it's a little bit like British soccer. It gets rocking over there.
Yeah, you know what? Everybody's been telling me that, like, dude, you're in for a treat because the atmosphere over there is amazing. So, like I said, I'm like a ball of energy right now. I'm pumped and ready to go.
I can tell. You got a few hours to wait before puck drop.
Don't
but
peek,
listen.
Don't peek too early. Don't peek too early.
Hey, as a former athlete, you know exactly what that's all about. I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
Listen, have an amazing time. We will keep an eye out for your tweets, your videos, all that good stuff. And maybe we'll even see you chanting along with some of the Islanders fans tonight. Have a great time, and thanks for doing this. We appreciate the time.
Oh, thank you, guys. I greatly appreciate it.
Daniel Negreanu, long time no chat. How's it going, my friend?
It's going well here in Vegas. Things are good. Subban looks hot. We won 4 straight. Put smiles on my face.
I love that. I love right to the hockey right away. We have you up early for this recording. Are you a morning person or nah?
They're poker players. The only time poker players are up in the morning is when they're still up from the night before and the sun's coming up and they're in a game that's too good.
When you're on a good run?
Yeah, I've always been a night person, so mornings are tough for me. But, you know, I made an exception for y'all.
Oh, that's kind of you. We appreciate that. I was talking with Callie off camera just about these poker games that the players get into on the plane and, you know, on the road and all this stuff. And I said, you know, who is the best poker player you've played with? And Callie simply said, I don't think any of us were good. We were just, you know, trying to intimidate each other. What would your advice be to hockey players that are trying to learn how to play poker well?
Oh, man, there's so many, like, ways to learn how to play poker now. You know, Phil Kessel's a good friend of mine, and, you know, he fancies himself to be quite the little poker player. You know, he thinks he's really good. I don't know about that. But I think the one thing you can do is to, you know, play against competition that is of your level when you start out. Because if you sit down with a bunch of sharks in Vegas and that's your learning experience, it's going to be ugly. You know,
right.
It would be like me getting a net and just – like, oh, let me try this goalie thing, you know, trying to stop, like, you know, slap shots from the point. So best approach, just, like, start with friends and, you know, on the planes and things like that. and go from there.
Awesome. I'll stick to the plane then. But I heard that you were a Toronto fan originally, and then you changed your alliance. If Toronto and Vegas were to play each other,
okay,
in the finals, who would be your team?
It's a great question. So the Leafs really, they started to piss me off, and it was one thing that they did that broke my back is when they traded Tuukka Rask many, many years ago.
Oh, yes.
I sort of was like, I have had it with this team. What are they doing? Since, you know, Shanahan took over, you know, you've seen a lot of growth and a lot of, you know, a lot of things to root for. But I helped bring this team to Vegas, and I was, along with Bill Foley, I was helping to sell tickets and things like that. So I've been here since the beginning. I go to all the games. I've lived in Las Vegas for 20-plus years now, so, you know, I'm much more familiar with the team as well. So I would say that, I mean, it'd be hard for me not to root for Vegas, but it would be one of those, you know, win-win, lose-lose situations. When I go to the games, I wear Vegas, you know, Golden Knights jersey, and when the Leafs come to town, I put on a Leaf hat, so I look confused.
Well, what about this? Have you ever, and would you ever, wear one of those awful split jerseys? I hate them.
Yeah, I thought about it, and then I came to the same conclusion as Jackie, and I was like, this is really stupid. This is really
yeah,
dumb.
You can't be doing that, right?
Yeah, stay away from this.
I will say something that's funny. In the first season, when the Leafs came to Vegas on New Year's Eve, Matthews had two goals. Carlson had two goals. I'm wearing the Leaf hat going, uh-oh, right? Carlson
right.
scores a hat trick, so I think that my Leaf hat is probably the only one that was thrown on the ice and is up in the practice arena. As you know, on their wall, because what they do is they take all the hats and they put them on the sort of like wall of fame for hat tricks.
Oh,
well,
I didn't know
cool.
that. That's so cool.
Yeah, they usually just go in like a garbage bin and get donated, I think. But that's cool. I like that.
Daniel, I know you're super close with the team and you follow them game in, game out. Who's like the coolest guy on the Golden Knights that you've had a chance to hang out with?
So, you know, as expected, Nate Schmidt has got like a fun-loving, like awesome personality.
Right.
He's really, yeah, you know, he's just really like a bundle of charisma. You know, the guy they call the mayor on the team, that would be Alex Tuck. You know, Alex is he's going to be a captain. There's no question about it. You know, you watch how he sort of embraces the younger guys like Nicholas Waugh and Nick Hague and, of course, Cody Glass. He sort of like is the leader of that pack of the younger crew. And, you know, he's all about the slick suits, the Vegas life. He probably partakes more than most. you know, he definitely loves it here. You can tell.
For a fan that's never been to a game out there in Vegas, I mean, obviously I've experienced the atmosphere and it's unbelievable. But I mean, what would you tell them? What about the atmosphere there? What's going on outside the arena? Just the energy in Vegas about the Golden Knights.
You know, I think Alex Ovechkin had it right when he came to town and he said, like, this is like nightclub, like pool party. You know, right here. It's like people come to Vegas and a lot of times, so obviously in the first, you know, season, a lot of people didn't even know what they were watching, right? But they're like, well, this is fun. A bunch of people getting together. There's music. You know, there's cool little things, you know, within the show on screen, and there's alcohol. So that's sort of what spawned the chemistry that, or the sort of the atmosphere that you described, you know, in the arena. It's fun. It's like, doesn't matter if we're winning or losing, you know, the fans are engaged. And also, you know, often you'll have so many road fans coming in because it's a destination station, if you will. Like, nobody goes to Columbus and says, let's make a road trip out of it.
Right.
But with Vegas, you get a whole bunch of Leaf fans in the building when they come, Edmonton, Chicago, Detroit. It's one of those, you know, games that people look at and say, let's go to Vegas and see that game.
Daniel, if you had to predict right now who would play in the Stanley Cup final, what would your odds be? Who would you put your money on?
Well, my God, you can't really ignore what Boston's doing right now.
I know, right?
Right now, but like, man, every night they just come and they just win, and they win convincingly. So that team is for real. Obviously, Tampa Bay is coming on, you know, in the East, and I think that they'll be a factor by the end. But, you know, and Boston, you know, it's amazing to see both Boston and St. Louis with the records they have. You got to imagine there's something to the Stanley Cup playoff hangover for both teams, but both have really, like, been able to put up the points. So I'm going to go with Boston in the East. And in the West, I got to say, I really believe that, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights are the deepest, best team, certainly in the Pacific Division, which gives them a, you know, a better path to get to the finals. And I do believe that they've got what it takes. And you know, you look at Kelly McCrimmon, he's tinkering with the lineup. They just picked up Chandler Stephenson for a fifth-round pick to add some more depth. And he performed really well in just his first game. So, you know, I think, like, with the third line looking like Glass, Tuck, and whether Eakin or Carrier, that's a pretty solid third line that not a lot of teams can boast right now. So I'm going to go with a Vegas. Let's go Vegas, Boston. Why not?
I was wondering where you're going to do if you're going to do your loyalty there. I like it. I like your loyalty.
Well, you know, it's less about loyalty than honestly. That's my honest opinion based on, like, seeing what's here on this team. I really think that they, you know, like, well, who else would there be? With, like, Winnipeg, Nashville, they've looked like they've faltered. St. Louis, I don't know that they can keep this up. Like, statistically, they've been overachieving so far this season. So, you know, Vegas seems like the spot.
I think the Pacific, too, certainly, it's very much up for grabs. Like, yeah. I look at that division, and I'm like, I don't know, like, how many teams are going to come out of this division.
That was a good point you made with their division and their path being maybe a little bit easier than somebody else's.
Well, but I mean, they're going to expect McDavid and Draisaitl to play, what, like 40 minutes a game?
Yeah. Might be 60.
How are you going to do
that 60.
Every other night? I mean, doing that every other night in the playoffs when you're getting smashed by Reeves and Carrier, I don't know. I don't know if the body holds up through that.
Yeah, and Vegas has the experience, too, the postseason experience over the Edmonton Oilers, That's for sure as well.
So did you play hockey growing up? Did you were you a skater, goalie? What was your deal with playing?
Well, every day after school in front of our house, we played road hockey. So I was not much of a skater. My parents are European. You know, they didn't understand sports and all that stuff in the same way like hockey. So every day, a group of us, till dark, we would play road hockey with a tennis ball. And I had a curved stick that was way illegal. Like, this thing was like, you know, you could pick the puck up on it and just throw it like a lacrosse stick. But we had a lot of fun with that. But I never really was much of a skater, so I didn't play ice hockey.
Well, Daniel, one of the things I love about you, you're such an ambassador of hockey. You're always tweeting about it. You're always talking about it. As you mentioned earlier, you were one of the first people sort of promoting getting a hockey team to Vegas. You're a happily married man now. Does your wife like hockey? Have you converted her into a hockey fan, or was she before?
Well, she liked hockey a little bit. You know, she's not big a, like, watcher on TV, but going to the games, she absolutely loves. We got her a Grim Reaver jersey because she's a big Ryan Reeves fan.
Okay.
She just loves when he smashes people. She's like, smash him, you know, that's a lot of fun for her. And, you know, obviously the fisticuffs and fights, she's into that. Little bit, she's got like an old school hockey viewer mentality in that regard. But no, she's definitely grown to love it, especially the playoffs. She really gears up for the playoffs.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, so good. All right, give us an update on your fantasy team. You've told me about this fantasy league that you're in before. It's been around. You've been doing it a long time, right? Keeper League?
I've been in the same league since 1996.
That is crazy.
And it's awesome. It's similar to like owning a team where you have a 20-man farm roster of like young kids, and then you've got a 23-man roster with 20 teams. So we're picking about 500-600 players total. My team is very, very young. You know, Sebastian Aho, Rupe Hintz, Vincent Trocheck's my elder statesman. And I do have Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier. So as I said, I'm in a rebuild. And this is year three of my rebuild, and it's coming along.
What's your team name? Is it safe for the podcast?
Yeah, it's safe. We call ourselves the Cheap Thieves, which has a lot of entendres and meanings within it. I had a partner, with the team, and we sort of created that name years ago, and it stuck.
That's awesome. That's
it's a crazy league,
yeah.
Right? One more quick one before we go. That's a pop culture question, because I know you're a layered individual and you follow pop culture as well. Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood yet?
I saw your tweet.
Yes.
I did see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yes, I did see it.
Thoughts?
I thought the ending was awesome.
I'm with you. The last 10 minutes where, everything hits the fan, I'm with you. That was incredible. But the lead up, I was bored.
I wasn't. I like quirky, kind of weird movies like that. And I, like I said, I was happy that the ending, they went, you know, the angle that they took. But no,
all right. Thanks for your time. No, I'm just joking.
I mean, it was definitely weird. I could see how people, you know, love it or hate it. But I like when artistic movies go for it and try something different.
All right, fair enough. Thanks for joining us, Daniel. Sorry for waking you up early. I assume you're going back to bed now, so enjoy the nap.
Well, you know what? Now that I'm up, I might, do some hockey studying.
There you go.
Yeah, you got to study for that fantasy league. Wow.
Yeah.
See ya.
All right, guys. See ya.
Sports fans know him very well. We're super excited to have Boomer Esiason join us. Boomer, how you doing?
Good morning, Jackie. Thanks for having me on. And Scotty, it's nice to meet you, even though I hate you.
Hey, this is, that's not very nice, Boomer.
Well, you know, Scotty, you were always a pain in my neck when you were with the Flyers and, of course, the Columbus Blue Jackets at the end of your career against my New York Rangers. You always seemed to have the ability to get under our team's skin and under our fan base's skin. So I've never met you in person. I'm finally glad to talk to you. And, you know, you play a lot like my son-in-law, who happens to play for the Islanders right now.
We'll get to him a little later, but it's funny. In Philadelphia, my first, I think, regular season game in Wells Fargo in Philadelphia playing the New York Rangers, and it was like the first period and the crowd started cheering, and it was during a whistle, and everyone's kind of turning around looking up in the stands, and there's a Ranger fan and a Flyers fan, and they're just going toe to toe in the stands, and I was like, wow, that's one of the coolest fights I've ever seen at a hockey game, and it wasn't even on the ice. So that kind of hatred in the fans kind of filtered on the ice, and I learned real quick to always get up for the New York Rangers game and try and ruin their nights, for sure.
I will say this. I'll give you two quick stories. One, I was back in the 70s, and this is when the Broad Street Bullies were at their, at their highest level, and of course Dave Schultz and you know, that whole gritty edge game that they would play and everything else. And I've often said on my radio show here in New York when I started in 2007, I hated Dave Schultz. I had these nightmares when I was a kid and all this other stuff. So my initial radio partner had a set up a dinner between me and Dave Schultz, and I almost couldn't sit down at the table. But it turned out to be Dave Schultz is really a sweetheart of a guy. Yeah. He's a great dude. And much like you yourself, most of you hockey guys are great, and you are appreciate the game for what it's worth and how hard it is to play. And then the second story was we played the Winter Classic there at the Philly Stadium down in Philadelphia. Yep. And that was when Rupper had actually two goals in that game. Who would have known?
He gave the Yager salute too. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, exactly. That we come out of the stadium and I got my daughter and my son with me, and all the Flyer fans were hooting and hollering at my daughter, who at that time I believe was about 16 years old. And I was just like, man, Sydney, we got to get the hell out of here. Man, we just got to get away from these people. But so a couple of memories from the Flyer games and Ranger games of the past.
And sounds like fun memories, too. We love stories on this show, so feel free to share any and all of them while we're chatting with you. But you are coming off of calling the Devils game last night. Not your first time doing that, but going into something like that and getting in the booth for a hockey game, what's the best part of that? What do you enjoy most about it, and what makes you the most nervous going into calling a hockey game?
Well, the thing that I love about it most is that my New York Rangers are not playing in the game, because I could not be able to do it if the Rangers were playing in the game. But I love the game of hockey. I watch it incessantly. I watch you, Jackie, all the time on the NHL Network, especially around trade deadline time, which is the most fun, I think, in the NHL. And then when we get to playoffs and there's a game or two or three games every night, back to back to back to back, if you're a hockey sycophant like I am, you love it. So to be able to talk about it on the radio for one day is really an honor, and I take it very seriously because the guys on the ice are playing it seriously. And last night we got a chance to see the great Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin put on a show, and I thought they would, simply because the Devils are all beat up defensively and they were going to really have a hard time playing against them, and it turned out to be that way. But I don't get nervous. I kind of enjoy it. I just kind of think about doing a hockey game like I would do a football game. Really the heavy lifting is the play-by-play, and my partner Greg Giannotti did an unbelievable job. He's never done it before. We did it last year once, but he had never done it since last year, and you would have thought that this was his vocation on a daily basis. He didn't miss much, and he might have gotten a name screwed up here or there, but other than that, he was pretty much on point, and certainly we enjoyed it.
Doing color or do play-by-play.
Play-by-play is terrifying.
Especially when you're not there every day learning the guys' names and the Russians and the Czechs and the Finnish guys, trying to get all that together and do it as fast as the hockey game is. That must be pretty tough.
And in hockey, too, right? Like, they're changing on the fly, so, like, you've got to have your head on a swivel. For sure.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, so last year we did an Islanders Devils game, and Matt Barzal came out of the penalty box and had a breakaway and scored, and it was unbelievable. This year, the same thing happened. It was Jack Hughes comes out of the penalty box and has a breakaway, but he doesn't score. But last year, Gio, my partner, wasn't ready for that. This year, he was ready for that because of what happened last year. And, yeah, you know, the names last night weren't too bad. There's a Kuokkanen, and that was about it. Everything else, I think we got pretty much right.
Well, Boomer, I wanted to ask you about your as a girl dad. You're someone that has a daughter, and we're coming off a week where a lot of women in hockey were sort of put front and center. NBC had a broadcast that was all female. Sportsnet in Canada had a broadcast that was all female. And we just did an all-female NHL Now yesterday. As somebody that has a daughter, you know, what does it mean to you to kind of see women being given more opportunity in sports?
Well, you know, Sydney was a great athlete herself. She was a soccer player and a lacrosse player. I tried to put a golf club in her hand. She didn't take it. I tried to get her on the ice. I wanted her to be a hockey player because I brought her to so many New York Ranger games from when she was about 4 years old, and she loves the game of hockey. She just never played it. But I think it's great, Jackie, honestly. You know, we're in a different time and a different place in the world now, and there should be opportunity for everybody. It shouldn't be decided by gender or skin color or anything else. It should be opportunities given to all people, especially people who love what they do. And the one thing I will say, watching the NBC broadcast, the ladies love the game as much as the men do.
Yeah.
And they can speak it as well as we can. So I don't even think about who does games. I just want to make sure whoever is doing the game knows the game, loves the game, plays the game, and does it about as unbiased as you possibly can, especially when it's a national game. And that's what the best part of that game the other night was.
That's great. Well, to focus now on your son-in-law, Matt Martin, here for just a quick second. He was a guy that you hated to play against, and that's probably the best compliment that a guy on the other team can give any person that you're playing against. And I think I got in fisticuffs with him. I got in one fight against him, but he was always, you know, running around. I was always trying to hit him, hit his teammates, and we went to blows one time. But, you know, is there any times at Christmas dinner or a summer, a holiday, where you just want to go over there and just smack him?
You know what? It's kind of funny. He is such a great guy, and he truly appreciates the tradition and history of hockey, especially when it comes to, you know, the fisticuffs and things of that nature. And he knows what's right and what's wrong. And one of the wrong things he did last year, he decided to get into a fight with Zdeno Chara. And even Chara, at the age of 43, at 6'10", is impossible to fight. And I just said, you know, Matt, that probably wasn't one of your smartest moments in your career. He goes, I know, but, you know, sometimes you just got to take one for the team, and that's what he did. But, you know, he's such a great kid. And I remember when the Maple Leafs had him, they signed a 4-year deal with him. So after the second year, they were going to move on from him. And we sat at our dinner table 2 summers ago, and we were sitting there. And he said, you know, Brendan Shanahan called me and said, look, we'll trade you to wherever you really want to go. If you want to go to the Rangers, because we know that's your father-in-law's favorite team.
Yep.
Or if you want to go back to the Islanders with Lou Lamoriello, we'll send you there. And I remember sitting with Matt, and I said, you know, Matt, my team, the Rangers, is in the middle of a total rebuild. I'm a season ticket holder. They sent me a letter. This is going to take a couple years. This is probably not the team that you want to sign with, as much as I'd love to see you in a Ranger sweater. However, if you can get back to the Islanders and reignite with Casey Cizikas and Cal Clutterbuck, that would be great for you. And so Brendan did him a solid. They traded him back to the Islanders, and they put him with Casey and Cal, and they turned out to really have a great year last year. And then this year, all three of them suffered the freak injuries, 2 skate cuts, 1 obviously Cal on his wrist, and then Casey at the bottom of his quad. And then Matt got ran into an open boards in Ottawa. So all three have had some really weird injuries this year, and I'm just hoping that they can hang on and, you know, make it to the playoffs, maybe as the A seed, as my Rangers make it in as the 7 seed. I want to stay away from the Bruins right now.
Yeah, most people do. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this then. If the Rangers and Islanders found themselves in a 7-game series, how would you watch those games? You'd be so difficult.
Jackie, it's not that difficult for me. When my daughter told me that she had brought Matt home for him to meet me, I said, you know, I was driving, and I said, I'll be home in 10 minutes. I pulled into my driveway. driveway, went into my garage. I think I grabbed either a Henrik Lundqvist jersey or a Rick Nash jersey. I put it on, and I walked into the kitchen and said, "Hi, Matt, I'm Mr. Esaias, and you may have gotten one of us in this house. You're not getting all of us."
That is set
well
the tone.
Played, sir.
Way
well
to
played.
Set the tone.
Yeah, so I did set the tone. So, look, I'm a Ranger fan, man. And if they're not playing the Rangers, of course. I'm always watching the Islanders. I'm always watching Matt. And, you know, I want them to win. I just don't want them to cost my team the playoffs.
Hey, fair enough, man. Fair enough. Yes. Your relationship with the Rangers predates your relationship with Matt, safe to say. But sort of a win-win situation for you if they ever face each other, I suppose. You mentioned the letter there, and I wasn't planning on asking you about this, but it reminded me of the letter that the Rangers sent out to all of their season ticket holders. And it was kind of rare to see an organization go, you know what, we're just going to address this, and we're going to write a letter to everybody letting them know exactly what's going on. What did you think of that when you got that letter saying, this is where we stand, and this is what we're doing right now?
Well, it was gutsy because, you know, my season tickets cost me $65,000 a year. I have four of them, and they're down in the lower bowl. They're on the red line. And, you know, I'm a passionate guy. I go to a lot of games. And, you know, I was a little disgusted when we got the letter because, you know, I was paying for a team that I thought had a chance to win a Stanley Cup. And that's really the problem that the Rangers have had since Glenn Sather had gotten here. He had always made the team competitive, just couldn't get it competitive enough to go all the way. So they were always making these trades at the deadline, and they were sending away assets and bringing in older players. And most of the time we wanted those older players because we thought that older player was going to be the final guy that was going to get us to the Stanley Cup final. But when Jeff Gorton finally sent this thing out and said, you know what, we're going to do it the right way, we're going to try to do it the right way, I kind of bought into it, but it did cost me a lot of money. And now I sit here 2 years later, removed from that, and they sign Artemi Panarin, they bring in Jacob Truba. This kid Shesterkin is just unbelievable as a goalie, and we have so much youth and we have so many assets that are still down in the AHL that are still coming in from all the different drafts that we've had now the last couple of years. Now, I'm pretty excited about the immediate future of the Rangers this year, but they've surprised me a little bit. But the next 5 to 10 years, we should go on another really good run here. So I like what Jeff Gorton has done. I like what the way the Rangers have handled it, and I like the amount of assets that they have and the way that they're using those assets smartly, finally, to stay young and to stay hungry and to get guys in here that are highly skilled.
Were you, I got to ask, were you at the game last week when Zibanejad scored 5 goals?
I was.
So. How was that?
That would have been such a great game to be at.
Yeah, it was. So the previous couple games that I had went to, I went to the Blues and I went to the Bruins, and I think we scored 2 goals in both of those games. So to actually do this to the Capitals and to score 5 goals was amazing. And, you know, and when you think about how they acquired Mika Zibanejad, that's another great move by Jeff Gorton, our general manager. They traded Derek Brassard and a fourth rounder for Mika Zibanejad and a second rounder. Think about that for a second. And they're paying Mika about 5.5 AAV. And when you have that kind of number attached to the kind of production, 40 goals, is pretty impressive. And the fact that they were able to get Panarin to take a little bit less money from the Rangers as opposed to the Islanders and then make that trade for Truba and re-sign Kreider at the trade deadline for 6.5. I think you could see that the guys that are running the team right now, along with John Davidson, are doing really the right things. And I feel pretty emboldened to feel like, you know, the next 4 or 5 years, we're going to be a pretty good team.
Rangers are so fun to watch.
They are.
And that game, especially the moment of the season, really, for the Rangers. What about the bread man? You think if the Rangers get into a playoff spot, you think he could take a run at the heart?
I think he can, you know, and the great thing, I didn't realize how good he was. The best thing that probably happened to the Rangers is that we hired John Davidson as our president this offseason, and John obviously came from Columbus. You know that, Scotty.
Yeah, I'm just giggling here, smiling.
Yeah, so he knows. He knew Panarin, personally, and he vouched for him to Jim Dolan, our owner, and, of course, to Glenn Sather, the chairman, and said, look, man, you really want this guy. And I knew he was good. I didn't realize how good he was. And I think Joe Micheletti said it the other night that the game that Panarin plays most often happens behind him. In other words, he sees the ice so well, has such a hockey sense that he knows where guys are at all times. And some of the passes that he has made have been amazing. And if we can truly get a right wing on his line – that can handle his puck passing ability, they'll be virtually unstoppable. Right now we're playing with Jesper Fast, who we all love as a Ranger, but we think more of him as a third and fourth line guy in a sense that he's a grinder and he's not a great receiver of passes. But, you know, they're playing really well together with Ryan Strome, and it's been kind of a surprise that Stromer and then and that Foss have been playing so well. But I think when you play with a guy as skilled as Panarin, I think even Scotty, he'd make my son-in-law look pretty good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I got to ask you about the goaltending trio in New York, too. We've spent so much time leading up to the trade deadline talking about how the Rangers would deal with having three goaltenders, including the King, Henrik Lundqvist. And I was always of the mindset of, like, I want to see Hank chase the Cup. Like, he should go do that. And obviously, the car accident that Igor Shesterkin was in kind of decided the future for this season. What was your take on it leading up to trade deadline?
Well, I was hoping that maybe Colorado would take a run at Henrik. And
yeah.
I know that Henrik would have waived his no trade had that been the case. I don't think there are a lot of people calling for Henrik, to be honest with you, especially with the number for next year at about $8.5 million. So, you know, there's still a big number there, even though the Avalanche could have fit him in. And, you know, I had all these scenarios in my mind, and that would have been the perfect place. You know, he's like our Eli Manning. You know, I love Henrik, and I appreciate everything Henrik has done for us. But, you know, in a salary cap sport, and when you're talking about a 38-year-old goalie that just doesn't have what he used to have, man, that is a heavy burden, and that's an albatross around that salary cap. So I was hoping he would have gotten traded. He would have gotten a chance maybe to go get the Cup. But I'm glad also to see that the Rangers are rewarding guys that deserve to play. You know, and these two guys, Georgiev has been a nice surprise for us the last 2 years, but Shesterkin has been so calm and cool in net, and we finally have a goaltender that can actually handle the puck, which takes an enormous amount of pressure off the defense. And that's one of the reasons why I think our defense is a little bit better. It still has to get better. We got great puck moving defensemen. I'd like to see a little bit more stay at home defensemen that we're going to block some more pucks like Girardi did and McDonough did back in the day. But at the end of the day, we got two good, really good goalies, and I would imagine that Hank's going to be bought out here in the offseason.
Yeah, well, lots of things to think about.
The great thing about Hank is, like, no matter where he goes for what's left of his career, he's one of those athletes that will just be adored no matter what. Like, Rangers fans are never going to not root for Henrik Lundqvist.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, we all love him, and just like the Giant fan loves Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Eli won some championships, but Eli didn't have great years. Henrik has had great years, but just hasn't won championships. And I would always say, and I would say wholeheartedly, that winning a Stanley Cup and winning those 16 games in the playoffs is the most difficult thing to do in all of the four major sports. I don't care what anybody says. You know, in football, we had to win two games, and next thing you know, we're in the Super Bowl. In hockey, you got to go grinding through seven-game series. It's not easy, and especially when you're playing within your division, you're playing these rivalry games when so much is on the line. So I appreciate everything Henrik did for the Rangers, but I also realize that, you know, you have to make tough decisions if you want your franchise to move forward, and I think that's exactly what Jeff Gorton and John Davidson are in the middle of doing right now.
Boomer, I got to ask you, did you watch game 82 in 2010 when the Flyers beat the Rangers in a shootout?
Did you score the shootout goal that night?
No, I didn't, but I assisted on the game tying goal. The Rangers were up 2-1. We scored with maybe 5-6 minutes to go, and then we beat Hank, obviously King Henry, in the shootout where he was so good. You know, then eventually we went on to lose in the Stanley Cup Finals. Patrick Kane from the Blackhawks scored an overtime winner. And, you know, going back to your career, when you were in Super Bowl 23 against the 49ers, does it still, I don't say haunt, is that the right word, but do you still think back of what could have been a different play could have changed that outcome? Do you still think about this, you know, so many years after?
I do a little bit, Scotty, but, you know, given where I grew up and where I came from and my early parts of my career and what it took to get me to the NFL and then ultimately to play in the Super Bowl, I will say the first time that I stepped out on the field down in Joe Robbie Stadium, and that's what it was called in Miami back in 1989, I just said to myself, this is unbelievable that I am standing here getting ready to play in a Super Bowl. So I will never forget that portion of the memory. I'd like to forget the last 35 or 40 seconds of the game, but still, it was a great game. You know, we did lose to a team that had like 9 Hall of Famers on it, the San Francisco 49ers. But It's like anything else. Like when you get to play in the Stanley Cup or I get to play in the Super Bowl, I mean, that, I think that's part of the journey of getting there in your career and really truly appreciating everything that you put into your career to get there.
Yeah.
That perspective is huge, right? Like, obviously, you're always going to remember the big wins and the big losses, but I like that you just, you know, a very real memory for you is that first step onto the field for that game. Must have just put everything into perspective in terms of your entire journey. And I remember Matt Sundin saying something very similar post-career. He said, what I miss the most outside of the guys that I played with is stepping onto that fresh sheet of ice before a huge game, hearing the crowd roar and thinking to myself, this is my life. And it just put things in such a different perspective for me as somebody who at the time was, I think it was in my first year of covering sports, had been a fan my whole life. I was like, oh, wow, like that's what you think about. Like that's the moment.
Yeah, we all have those stories in our lives too. That's the thing. I mean, whether it be Scott or me or my son-in-law Matt, who had to grind through, you know, juniors and, you know, get a chance to play and then show something to somebody that somebody believed in him. And Lou Lamoriello certainly has been a believer in Matt in the way that he has played since he saw him quite a bit when Matt was going against the Devils when Lou was the GM there. And then, of course, to get to know him as a GM up in Toronto. So we all have a story. We all have a background. And then realizing just how difficult it is to get to where we got to, I think is the thing to really most appreciate about our careers.
Well, listen, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you this morning. Thank you for the time. Enjoy this final stretch for the Rangers. It's going to be an exciting and emotional ride, I'm sure.
I hope so, man. I hope we get there. And, Scotty, it was great talking to you, man. And I've always appreciated the way you played. I just didn't appreciate the way you played against the Rangers.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. Thanks, Boomer. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for listening. This has been the best of Puck Culture so far, we hope. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. You can subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts, or you can tune in and watch all the previous episodes on the NHL's YouTube channel. Remember, stay safe, wash your hands, and let's all keep our fingers crossed that the puck drops again really soon. Bye.